Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey.
Maybe you gotta be more enthusiastic.
I kinda am a little depressed because we have to go to an event at 4 and there's not gonna be any parking and it's hot and we should just walk across town.
Well, we're gonna walk across town. I might have to see if any of my fancy shorts are fitting me.
Fancy shorts? So yeah, anyways,
this my is salmon-colored vineyard vine shorts.
He doesn't own any.
That's because I can't. Because they make those for slim boys, B-O-Y-Z. Or B-O-I-S. I don't know how you spell it, but they don't fit real mans.
Mans?
Yes.
Real mans?
Even though I have no ass, I still got
some. Oh, my
what
God.
What do I got? What do I got that makes me not a slim, fit guy?
You've got hips? Powerful...
I mean, powerful thrusts.
Powerful thighs.
I do got powerful
thighs. Okay, that's just gross. So, moving on. I was going to talk about something adorable. All
right, that was adorable. My lack of ass. Anyways, go ahead.
Way back in May, Vermont University gave a kitty an honorary degree.
Really?
A doctor of literature.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. And we just did the podcast when the daycare kids went outside.
Oh, they're just walking by. They'd be all right. I'll go out there and yell at them like I do whatever.
No, they're playing in their yard, bae.
Shout out. Oh, those daycare
kids. Those daycare kids. Anyways, well. So Max the Cat, according to the Facebook post of Vermont State University's Castleton campus, has been an affectionate member of the Castleton family for years.
Yes.
So he lives in this little house with his humans, yeah. And like it's on a street that like goes to the campus, right? Yeah. And he goes up to the campus all the time and just hangs out with the kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they love him.
That's awesome.
Isn't that sweet? So yeah. They decided he was perfect, and they gave him a literature degree.
That's really cute.
I know. Why can't our town be that cute?
He probably poops in their flower beds all the time, so it's fitting.
Litter. Litter.
What?
So what you all didn't hear was me whining about being hot and Sean saying...
I said, do you want an ice pack?
And then what did you say?
And then I said, I'll duct tape it to the back of your neck.
And that's how Sean solves problems.
No, I hate solving problems with duct tape. But you see, duct tape won't stick to anything.
That would hurt.
So it's got to go around the neck like a collar.
That would hurt. I would die, buddy. I would die.
That wouldn't make it tight.
That's what he says now. So this podcast is not about hurting me. It's about how to write a book description that gets readers all tingling all over.
Oh, I can do that.
So you can. So that sounds a little naughty, right? Sean picked up on that naughtiness sure right away. And it is a little naughty because this, my friends, is about selling a book. Your book, and that requires being a little bit sexy and a little bit naughty.
Dude, if you can make people tingle, you're going to sell that. If it, just from the description?
So anyway, sexy is something that I, Carrie Jones, am very, very, very bad at. But let's start thinking about it this way, right?
Yes.
A book, how do you spell this word? A book description is an advertisement.
It's not an advertisement. That's the opposite. An advertisement.
I'm adverse to this whole topic, honestly. But a book description is basically an advertisement for your book, right?
Right.
Writing a bad ad for your book doesn't make you a sucky novelist. It just makes you unskilled at that, right? And that's okay, because you've been learning, if you're a novelist, character development and plotting and novel structure and pacing, blah, blah, blah. And it's okay to suck at writing an ad, right?
Hell yeah, it is.
But we want to help make you a little bit better, right? Because yeah, we want you to sell your book, particularly if you're trying to get it to an, like, if you're independently publishing. So, here.
Wait, time out.
Oh, jeez.
I just need to recognize that the very most important part of this podcast might be the fact that for advertising and marketing professionals,
yeah,
you just came up with the new term for a bad ad.
Advertisement?
That's right.
Copyright.
Yeah. Patent that. You can't patent words, can you?
No, but damn it.
You can copyright it.
All right, so here are things you need to know to write a big, like a good book description. You ready?
Yes.
Say it.
Make it between 150 and 250 words.
You want it to not be as long as the book, basically. Or even as long as a novella. Or even as long as this post. Because why?
Any longer, people apparently stop paying attention. Plus, you probably used up all the good parts of the book.
Yeah. Number two is...
focus on the bare plot minimum and the hero slash protagonist.
So you want to show us how the main character's decision has set them toward the adventure of the book. Three.
Make it in the third person.
So the third person is when you talk about other people and you don't use the I, right? So...
Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar decided to adopt a hamster. Little did they know it was a zombie.
Third person. Not...
we adopted a zombie hamster.
First person. Number four tip.
Do not be cheesy.
You don't want to go all fancy pants on the book description. You want to stay away from too many adverbs and adjectives and a zillion clauses, because simple wins. So don't write...
in the adorable town of Bahia, Maine, where tourists avidly romp in the summer.
Ooh. And do you want me to do this?
No, I could read it much better until you made it italicized. In their adorable town of Bar Harbor, Maine, where tourists avidly romp in the summer and locals stoically manage the hard winters beneath the many mountains and rocky coast, two hardworking podcasters tried to adopt a small rodent.
There you go. That's a lot, right?
Mm. Yes.
Then...
hook them in!
Book hooks happen in the first pages of the story, but they also need to happen in story descriptions. A good way to do this is to show how your hero is unlikely to achieve their goal on their adventures. So?
Absolutely clueless podcasters Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar decided to adopt a hamster, hopelessly hoping for something easy to love. Little did they know that Hammy the hamster was a zombie.
Right? And so we're a little worried because the podcasters are clueless, right?
Yes,
and they want something easy. And yet the irony of all this is that their hamster is a zombie. So it's not going to be easy. And it's going to be hard for clueless people even more so, right?
That's right.
And next. You sound a little patronizing there, buddy.
Not at all.
Okay.
This is my part. Make your word choice count and work for the book.
I was just going to say the next tip is.
Say it.
The next tip is.
Make your word choice count and work for the book.
Right. So if you use one or two words that are emotional and full of power, you can impact the readers and make them want your book, right?
Yes.
So our, I just dropped a pen down my back.
What? You need me to get it for you?
No. Okay. So our book. I'm so sorry. I can't be in this life anymore.
Jesus, read you long.
All right, so our book looks like some quirky fantasy, right? Like it's got, you know,
A zombie hamster?
Yeah.
And clueless podcasters. Yeah. There's no such thing as a clueless podcaster.
Oh, gosh, of course not. But we know from the plot that it's probably a fantasy because there's a zombie in it, right?
Right.
So if it were a mystery and we were looking to snag our readers in, we might use the word like murder, right? Or death or kill or I don't know.
Yeah.
So here's an example of a book description using that.
Absolutely clueless podcasters, Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar decided to adopt a hamster, hopelessly hoping for something easy to love. Little did they know that Hammy the hamster was a zombie. When people in their town start showing up murdered, hanging upside down from street signs, it's up to them to keep Hammy from taking the blame and finding the real murderer.
Right.
Yeah.
So if it was a young adult novel, we might use the word teen or some coming of age words in there to kind of like boom to the reader, right? So that might be.
Absolutely clueless teen podcasters, Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar, decided to adopt a hamster, hopelessly hoping for something easy to love. Little did they know that Hammy the hamster was a zombie. Figuring out how to be brave enough to protect Hammy from the outside world, keep them together forever, or push them apart for good.
Right.
We ain't adopting no hamster.
All right. So the whole point here is you want to write a description that works with your genre. So here is our final quick example.
Two podcasters, one zombie hamster, in a little main town about to host a million tourists. Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar weren't expecting that the hamster they'd adopted to help their podcast ratings would end up a zombie, or that it would threaten all the tourists heading in to celebrate Acadia National Park's bicentennial. Now these clueless podcasters, looking for a way out of their podcast
podunk
town, have a choice. Find a way to get people to listen to them and protect both the tourists and Hammy the hamster before it's too late.
The future of Bar Harbor, Maine, and a million tourists depend on them. You missed the last line.
I know, because I got hung up on have a choice, but there was only one thing. There was like no choice.
Oh. Here, or just give up.
Okay. I got to read the whole thing over?
No. Now?
Okay.
Or just give up and hunger down with some Doritos.
Oh, hell yeah.
Before it's too late. There we go.
Because Hammy likes Doritos.
Hammy does like Doritos. All right, Hammy's favorite. All right, so there you go.
Nice job, baby. That's our podcast.
Damn, that was hard.
You hooked me with that.
Oh, did I?
No, that was a good description.
You want to read that book now? Do I need to read that book?
I do want to read that book now.
Oh, nosies.
You know what I mean? But I want it to be like, we're hunkering down with some Doritos. But when we go to sleep, Cammy's secretly going out and hanging people upside down from the street signs. Go ahead. Dog tip for life.
Don't look at those.
Those are fantastic.
Don't look at those.
We know we're recording. Don't touch these. I mean, don't touch those.
He wasn't.
It's the same nose. But it, no, that's like a faint.
Oh, just do the dog tip.
The dog tip.
Wow.
Well, it's more about hookage than relating to literature and books, really.
Okay.
But it has the same effect.
Okay.
And it's like Pokey's like, you just gotta hook them, and they'll do what you want. But really, she means you just gotta hook them, and they'll buy your book.
Hook them. Yeah. That is not a good. What? How does that apply to life?
Hook 'em. No, it's apostrophe E-M.
Oh my god. Okay, hook 'em and I'll buy your book?
Yes.
But
in dog world, it's like hook 'em and they'll give you a treat. Or hook 'em and they'll take you for a walk. Like, you know, how Pokey comes up here and gives you the sad eyes.
Yeah.
And then when you don't pay any attention to her, she might throw in a little cute little moan or groan or whine. And then when you're still ignoring her, she throw a paw up on your knee. Eventually, you'll realize she's there and wanting a treat.
Okay.
All you know right. What I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So it's like the same thing is you're throwing in those three or four tidbits, which to her are the staring eye, pleading puppy dog eyes, okay. The whines and moans and groans, and then the paw.
Those tingly moments.
In order to make the viewer tingle, the reader. Your viewer.
Okay, that works.
Oh, you're just trying to shut this thing.
I'm done with the podcast. I'm just done now. It's too hot.
It is a little warm. I'm sweating sitting here. But that's because I'm next to you. It's true. Would you like to hear one of my locations?
No.
Okay. All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
Dude, you know.
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef. I broke for free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. The end. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
Be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Bye.